877-353-4028 or online at onegreenworld.com. Also by The Garden Spout, specializing in indoor gardening equipment, including horticultural lighting, environmental control, hydroponic and organic nutrients, and pest control. The Garden Spout is located at 4532 Southeast 63rd, just south of Foster in Portland. Information at 503-788-GROW. KBOO Portland.
It is alarming how charming it is to be a farming. Good morning, Glenn Andreessen here beside you now until 12 noon. Welcome to the Dirt Bag. Here with me is my guest, Jim Gilbert of One Green World Nursery. Full disclosure, One Green World is an underwriter of this program. Welcome, Jim.
Good morning, Glenn. Great to be here.
It is a great day, not only for growing things, but for honeybee gathering nectar and such. We have a full show today, as usual, and we'll be inviting in our friends, Justin and Jen, later to talk about what we have, some goodies lined up for you.
Yeah, please.
We've got the plant of the month, the sea berry. Jim will take care of that, and he brought in some sea berry juice to taste, even. You make your pledge in person, and he's got enough glasses here. We'll give you some of this sea berry juice.
It's a pretty special juice. You'd be the first in your family, first in the neighborhood, first in the state to try it.
That's right. We've got a garden stumper coming along. We will, not for this show, but for subsequent, the next 2 or 3 or 4 months, we'll have some ticket giveaways once again to the Eco Film series at the Hollywood Theater, but not this time. We will have tickets available, but that comes with your pledge. How about that? We've also got gift certificates to One Green World and other giveaways, or gifts, we might say, for your pledge. Our topic, we've got a couple of topics that we'd like to hit. One is thinning fruits and vegetables. This is a task that is hard to do. It's just hard for people to do it, but you are rewarded for doing so. I'll also like to talk about some easier methods of pest control on fruits and veggies. And, of course, we'll answer your questions. First up, did you find the information that you need about what's going on, Jim?
I'm still chewing on it. There is a really interesting event happening in August, mid-August, and I'm trying to get the dates, but the Home Orchard Society is hosting the North American Fruit Explorers, and the Northern Nut Growers are also coming to town. So there's going to be about a week of fruit nut gatherings and a great chance to hobnob with some really cool people from all around the country who know all about fruits and all about nuts and do some touring and check out some cool places. And so anyway, that's good. That's a really neat thing. It's a limited number of spaces available.
And they have seminars and talks and things like that?
In fact, I'm going to give a talk at one point. Can you believe it?
I can.
It should be really a lot of fun. If you want to spend the night, a lot of the events are going to happen at McMinniman's Edgefield. And there's also, of course, you can spend the night there as well, or just come for the day and the dinner and so forth. Then mm-hmm. tours are going to go to Hood River and to Corvallis. But it'll be really a lot of fun.
Okay, so that's coming up in August. We have time to get the particulars on that.
Yeah, definitely. We can put it on the KBOO website even if we want to, I suppose.
I suppose we can.
Yeah.
What's coming up much quicker than that is May 17th from 9 to noon. This is an event called Take Care of West Lynn Day. Okay, this happens at West Oak Savannah. This doesn't make any sense to me, but the address is 2425 Tandler Drive. They'll be planting oak seedlings and watch them grow. It's a family event. There will be a free barbecue afterwards at a nearby spot. So that's Take Care of West Lynn Day. I suppose if you want more information on that, you can just search for that and you'll have whatever you need there. That's the only thing that I've got going on my calendar. Jim, anything else to add to that?
I think right now it's getting into fruit growing season. One thing I thought about this morning that's pretty special, we didn't have a late frost. And so as a result, our pawpaws are just covered with flowers. Last year, they got hit by a frost and it set them back a bit. We still had a good crop, but this year, it's incredible. Figs just loaded. I mean, we've got figs all over the plant. Even after that cold weather, I mean, we were fortunate enough up here not to get so cold that it actually hurt the plants.
Yeah.
So they're loaded too. And I'm seeing good almonds, Glenn, almonds. I got almonds all over our
trees. Yeah, global climate changes. It's not all bad, huh?
Well, I don't know all the factors involved. But
yeah, anyway, right. Well, we do. I think it's a pretty good apple year. Not stellar. I you know, at my yard anyway. Just going by that, pears looks pretty good. Plums not so much. Would you concur with that? There.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, those are one of the more difficult ones to get good crops here. It seems like
sometimes they'll break branches there. So.
Right.
Well, but. But so that's the way it is.
I see peaches.
Yeah.
I haven't looked carefully to see if any apricots might have set fruit, but that would be, of course, very special to have a ripe apricot here in the valley.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to our plant of the month, Seaberry. Here, we'll, it's not native to Oregon or even the United States or North America.
That's correct.
It doesn't even grow in the northern climes of Canada.
No, people planted it there.
Sure,
planted everywhere, but it's actually native to from the Baltic Sea, from which it gets its name as Seaberry, and then it grows from that all across Eurasia through Siberia to China, and there are a number of species, but the most popular one, the one that's used commercially, is Hippophae rhamnoides, which is what this is. That's the Latin name, of course.
Well, first of all, just describe what the plant looks like.
It's a shrub, a large shrub. It can get to be 8, 10, even possibly 12 feet tall if you didn't do anything to it. Last year, it's pretty upright growing, and
they grow in raspberry canes. They grow on canes, or is it more
it's a shrub.
Shrub,
it's a woody shrub.
Okay, not like currants.
No.
Okay,
bigger.
So they come out with they have canes.
Right.
Okay. No. Okay. Go on then.
Big woody shrub.
All right.
And vertical growing, upright shrub. When it's covered with fruit, it's quite a sight. Last year we have about 2 acre planting, and the fruit was like a wall of orange from all the berries. The berries are just densely covering the branches.
And what size are these berries?
Maybe the size of a small blueberry.
Okay.
But dense, and I say that because people actually use these sometimes in flower arrangements. There's a couple of varieties that the fruit hangs on quite well. And it goes into the fall, so like orange and Halloween, they're pretty striking.
Uh-huh.
And these berries are basically juice. They're about 90% juice. There's a thin skin and a seed, a very small seed in there, but so much juice comes out, it's quite remarkable.
Can you eat them just off the vine?
You can, but they're tart.
Okay.
And so you think of it, if people think about like a cranberry. Cranberries are tart, and they get the pure cranberry juice is diluted and sweetened to make it something that will be happier drinking. So that's the same model with Seaberry.
Okay, well, we'll get into the care and cultivation and where to plant, what kind of requirements it needs after we check in with our pals, Justin and Jen.
Ah, thanks so much, Glenn. And we are listening to The Dirtbag, and we are briefly interrupting during our spring membership drive because we are in a matching period right now. It's very exciting. $250 of your money will be matched by an anonymous donor, so we're hoping that you, dear listeners, will call in right now at 877-500-5266. We have a goal of $750, but there are thousands of you listening. Maybe 10 of you could start a membership at the $75 level. We do have a $25 gift certificate to One Green World. You could start that at the $60 level, and we can send that to you. Also at the $60 level, if you could put it on your credit card today, we can send you and someone you know to the Portland Eco Film Festival showing of Bringing It Home. This is the story of hemp, past, present, and future. In fact, maybe you could put $120 down today and you could get that $25 gift certificate and take a friend to see Bringing It Home on May 29th at the Hollywood Theater. Just call right now, 877-500-KBOO.
That's right, folks, 877-500-5266. And as somebody who grows 16 kinds of fruits in my yard and lots of vegetables, I know all about One Green World. It's a fantastic company that I get a lot of my fruits and fruit trees from. And we will give you a $25 thank you gift certificate to One Green World for a $60 minimum pledge. That's a pretty good deal. And plus, your any donation you make right now gets matched, so it gets doubled. That's my favorite time to give to KBOO because I know this is such an important source of information. Glenn Andresen brings you all kinds of information about growing organically, taking care of our bees, and continuing that saga all the way from 1976 all the way to contemporary days. KBOO is bringing you vital information that you're really not going to hear on any other airwaves. 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm.
And think about this. You're getting real hands-on guidance for putting your hands in the soil. This is not abstract. This is not ethereal. This is direct. So as we hand it back to the dirt bag, we're standing by for your calls during this matching period. Your money will be matched up to $250. Let's get those gift certificates into your hand and those movie passes into your hand right now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Justin and Jen. So those are some good bargains there to help you with your support of KBOO. Okay, Jim Gilbert is here with me and to talk about seaberry cultivation.
Seaberry is just a very cool plant, Glenn. One thing, it actually fixes nitrogen.
So how about that?
You don't need to fertilize it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Improve soil where it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
It does need to get watered during the summer. Not amazing, not immense amounts, but it's pretty used to growing in fairly arid regions. But to get good fruit crops, to keep the fruit on and to have it be nice and juicy and all, it's a good idea to water.
Sure.
A pretty low-care plant. The biggest challenge in growing seaberry and getting good fruit and getting the fruit is the harvesting. The biggest commercial production of seaberry is in Germany. If you listeners want to travel to the Berlin area, you can find it in just about every store. There's actually orchards there. There's processing plants. And the short bit of history about that was that it was really developed in former East Germany as a substitute for orange juice. Because they couldn't buy oranges with the East German money, they had this idea, hey, you know, we've got this native plant here. Let's develop this one. And so they did so, and they've got some really good varieties. They recognized it as a very healthy fruit as well, and it's extremely high in vitamin C, vitamin A, and vitamin E, which comes from a natural oil that's in the fruit. And the oil is actually extracted separately by companies and used for both medicinal and cosmetic use.
When does it bloom?
It blooms in April.
So it's done blooming now?
Oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. The bloom is funny. It's like you can't hardly see the flowers. It's wind pollinated. The flowers are so small, you know, there's no potential any insect would ever be attracted to them. And I remember one year I wanted to take a photograph of the flower, and it was a rainy day, and I knew they weren't open yet, and the rain stopped, and I went out to take a photograph, and there was a little fruit there. it was like just like some miracle occurred, which I, you know. So I'm actually working on, I want to get a little bit closer up to those flowers with some kind of microscope.
I see.
And get a better handle on it. But it takes a male and a female plant for pollination, and the male doesn't bear fruit. But
and how many males to females?
Well, typically they'll say like 1 to 8 or 1 to 10. If somebody wants to get into planting an orchard of Seaberry, I'd love to talk to them. We would love to find somebody who might be interested in doing juice with us, because I think it's a great potential product for us here in the Northwest and for the whole country.
So full sun?
Loves full sun. Half day shade's okay.
Mm-hmm.
No pest problems. Significant disease problems that we've discovered.
So for home gardens, though, to get, when you say 8 to 10 feet, that's pretty good size for a bush, maybe a parking strip planting or something like that.
And if I might go back to the harvesting just for a moment, because that's how we control the size. It's because what we do, instead of trying to pick the berries one by one, which is time-consuming and difficult, the berries don't come off that easily. We actually will cut the whole fruit-laden branch off the plant, put it in a chest freezer, or you can put smaller pieces in your home freezer in the above your refrigerator, freeze them solid, and then they just fall off like marbles. And then it's really easy to get the berries off, but picking them is not really feasible unless you're just like meditating in your Seaberry grove.
And for the home gardener, then could they run them through just a juicer to get them, or do you have to cook them to juice them?
No, the way we do it is really works well. First, you take those knocked off Seaberries, and you're probably going to have a few leaves and twigs in that group as well. And we'll just pour that. It's kind of fun. It's kind of like it's primitive, I suppose. We'll take that a bucket or a bowl of Seaberries, pour it through the stream of air from a fan. Into another bowl, and that blows the leaves and everything away, and then you end up with a bowl full of clean Seaberries. And then we take those frozen clean Seaberries, and if we want to make juice immediately, we let them thaw a little bit and then put them through a squeezo strainer or similar type squeezing device. You can actually just do it even on a colander, just mash them, because they're so juicy, and there's really no pulp. But the squeezo strainer is great, because you just crank it and just keep putting out juice, and the skin and the seeds go out the end, and the juice comes out the side. And
boy. Okay, well, maybe we'll take a small musical break here, and on the other side, or during that, Jim and I are going to sample some of the Seaberry juice, and we'll report back here on the other side. This is T-Bone Walker, Flower Blues. Here we are in Mayflowers, Flower Blues, T-Bone Walker. That's some tasty tunes there. Oh, no, excuse me. That was some tasty Seaberry there.
I used to actually think of this in the pure form, like rocket fuel. It really gets you going.
It's got a little zing to it. It goes down well, though.
Yeah, and that oil, I'm always happy to drink it, knowing that I'm getting this vitamin E as well in there too. We were at the fifth international conference on Seabury in Germany.
Well, that's where you were one of these
in October.
Yeah.
I think we missed one of the dirt bags, right. and they were giving out samples, and I think that they had taken out the oil, you know, because it's valuable.
Oh.
And so I really could tell the difference. The mouthfeel was different. I like it, the whole thing.
Ah, so we understand that Justin and Jen have been enjoying the sea berry juice too.
Who knew there was a fifth annual international Seabury conference? Now, if that doesn't shriek expertise, I don't know what does. We're asking folks to call in right now. This Seabury juice is fabulous. It's like a lemon orange tangelo berry juice.
That's good.
It's really wonderful. And we're hoping that people are going to call in and support the kind of expertise Fifth International Seabury Conference. Call us right now, 877-500-5266, because we are in a matching period and $250 of your money will be matched by an anonymous, generous donor. And if you could do that at the $60 level, we could give you a $25 gift certificate to One Green World. Perhaps you would prefer to go see Bringing It Home, the story of hemp, past, present, and future, as part of the Portland Eco Film Festival. Perhaps you could do $120 and get both the gift certificate and a pair of tickets to the Hollywood Theater on May 29th. Won't you do that right now? 877-500-KBOO.
And this is a perfect time to call because it is a matching period. That means every single penny that you give really will be doubled. And that is fantastic for KBOO and helps to keep this kind of information on the air so you can learn how to garden organically. And you can learn about things about like Seabury, which is such a delicious juice. And if you come down and visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, I think we have enough for you to try it too.
But yes, you better hurry because we are drinking
it's
it and it's delicious.
Come on now. We would love to meet you and we'll give you a tour of the station too. 20 Southeast 8th Avenue or 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. And you know, you may be wanting to head out to your garden, but just before you put on your gloves, just before you pick up your trowel, please give us
trowel.
A call. Give us a call at 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm.
And while you come down to taste the Seabury juice, you can make your gift in person. $690 to go. Thank you, Marissa, for renewing your membership in Northeast Portland. You Woo-hoo. Are pointing the way to so many people. Now, let's hear some from down the Willamette Valley, where gardening is a big deal. And no matter where you are, this is real expertise coming out of your radio. And it just comes out for free. Well, at $84 an hour, we're hoping you will continue considering contributing. Wow. $84 an hour. That's how much it costs to make sure that we have these cultural and political ambassadors. Today has been a wonderful day when it comes to talking about agriculture, gardening, sustainability, and it goes so perfectly with the season. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Don't wait for another day. Now is the time to call 877-500-5266.
And it is a matching period, so every contribution that you make will be doubled. And that goes to train all of our volunteers. You know, if you want to volunteer at a radio station, guess what? You can just walk in our door and we'll let you. You can help sit at the desk and be a receptionist, or you can learn how to go on air. The person in our air room is a volunteer right now. Justin and I are volunteering right now. And the person who is Glenn Andresen, he's a wonderful volunteer who's been providing you this kind of information for a long time. And I really depend on it as an organic gardener. 877-500-5266 or 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and come get some Seabury juice.
There are a lot of organizations fighting for your hard-won money. I'll ask you to consider again, if you could only support one of those organizations, what kind of organization would it be? Would it teach you how to garden? Would it teach you how to save the world, create healthy food? Would it invite your participation at every level of the organization? Would it have been cutting edge for over 46 years and withstood the test of time? Would it have a music library from A to Z with 30,000 LPs and over 50,000 CDs? Would it be serving Seaberry juice right now? In short, my friends, would it be KBOO? Won't you please say yes to that? Please don't wait for someone else. I know that 9 of every 10 of you have grown accustomed to listening to this, and all we ask is that you invest a small amount. It's not even the amount of money that you give. It is, in fact, that you simply stand up and get counted and make sure that your name is in the good book. Really, maybe you could give a gift to somebody else on behalf of somebody else by any means necessary. Please do that right now, online at kboo.fm or toll free 877-500-KBOO.
That's right. We've got time for your questions as well, garden questions. I'll give you the number for that, 503-231-8187, if you've got a gardening question for us today. Okay, you got anything else to add on Seaberry there, Jim?
I think we've covered the basics. If somebody has a question, I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, but we need a male and a female plant, and it's pretty easy to know which is which when you buy it.
Labels.
Okay.
The males have really kind of very attractive buds. They're really quite large and sort of bronze colored buds, which distinguish them from the female too.
All right. Well, the another topic that we wanted to handle or to cover today is pest control. And I wanted to talk specifically about some, you know, pretty easy and very effective methods for pest control on apples. You know, I'm talking here, of course, about bagging the apples or somehow just covering the fruit. But before I talk about that, maybe we'll talk about in the second half after the garden stumper, which is coming up here, that I was having a problem with corn last year being eaten by squirrels.
Hmm.
Yeah, those little varmints. And I told my wife one dinner as I saw corn stalk shaking out there because the squirrel was crawling up the stalk to eat the ear of corn. And I said, I don't think we're going to have any ears of corn for this year at all because they're going to get them all. And she said, I wonder if you could do the same thing that you do with the apples, you know, put a bag over it. And so I went out after dinner and I used plastic bags because it was no longer ears.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, it worked.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's great.
They didn't. The ones that I fastened at the bottom were particularly effective. The bags that I left open, they'd try to get up there and they might try to nibble a little bit. But so I did salvage about a dozen ears after that. So
great.
We'll talk more about that. Tammy, let's just go in. This seems a good time to go into the garden stumper, and we'll come back with that right after this. Well, Jim and I are here. We didn't talk about this ahead of time here. So, you know, Jim had asked, you know, he had suggested as a garden stumper, you know, well, what are three plants that are done? Here's the garden stumper. I'll just tell you that. Name a fruit, nut tree, or veggie that are wind pollinated. And we may have more than what we say here. And my intention was that we were going to give away tickets to the film series for anybody that came up with this answer. But Sun explained to me that we don't have ticket giveaways during our membership drive. So now you just get to think of a plant that is wind pollinated, a plant that we eat.
And they already had, they actually see three would be really better because you already gave away one.
Yeah,
today.
You're right. We gave you a hint.
Right. So if they came up with two more plus the one that I mentioned.
Yeah. Well, we don't care. You just call in with any answer because we don't have any tickets or anything to give away for that anyway.
Sure.
And so we know of four, and there may be more.
Yes, there probably are. But
right. So maybe you could help educate us too, that are wind pollinated. So we give them the hint that we already told them one.
Right.
The only thing we've talked about, Seaberry.
Yes.
We mentioned that.
Right.
So that's
So that means you have just two more.
Right. So even if every single bee and pollinating insect were somehow to perish, we would still have something. That's right. So we could have Seaberry. So just to give you an idea now of what we're talking about. So if you know the answer to that, or if you have an idea on something that is wind pollinated, a fruit tree, a nut tree, or a vegetable, 503-231-8187. Talk to our eager engineer, Tammy, and we'll get you on the air. Okay, now, back to our pest control here. I, for years, have been what we call bagging these apples, and this is a simple technique, and we've used this, and we've talked about this many years, but it's always worth repeating because it's a this is the time to do it. You know, I just slipped right past the thinning of the fruits and veggies. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
But this is a good time to do both as far as apples. And so when you're out there thinning, and we'll come back to that topic here.
Thinning and bagging.
Yeah. I do it at the same time there. And it's getting to be that time or so. There's still, at least in the city, I have noticed that a lot of the fruit that did not get pollinated are dropping off now. Mm-hmm. It's just wimpy fruit, and you don't want to bag a apple that's going to fall off anyway.
Right, just fall in the bag.
Right. And there are various bags that you can use. I use paper bags, sandwich bags, numbers 2 or 4. Fours are bigger. I mean, if you have large apples, that's what's best. But a simple technique of, you know, turn the bag over so the open end is at the bottom now. Cut a little slit in the bottom of the bag, which is now the top. And just separate that slit and slip the apple through the bag. So the apple is inside the bag now, and it just hangs on the apple. The big apple's inside. The stem is on the outside. You following this, Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, you're right with me on this. Yeah, good. Let me hear you say, yeah, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I put a staple in the bottom of the bag, but that's more for my benefit, I think, because the idea is that these pests, the apple maggot fly and the codling moth adult, will just can't see the apple to lay an egg on it or near it.
That's right.
It's what I call a prophylactic tactic. We're just preventing.
Very, very good.
We're just preventing the problem from happening.
Yeah.
You know, simple.
Right.
Simple.
Now, you're familiar with fruit stalks.
Yes. You can talk about those.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I can talk about them, but I don't have time to use them. One of these days, I'll probably try this, but I know that many people do it, and it's spelled not S-O-C-K-S, it's S-O-X.
Well, like the White Sox.
Yes, exactly, right. And so, and you can, the Home Orchard Society, you go on homeorchardsociety.org, you will be able to get two pieces of information, one about getting fruit socks, and the other I'm trying desperately to find on my smartphone, which is the date of this conference in August. So that'll be there too. But that's where they actually sell the fruit socks.
You've got about a 10th grade phone there, not a smartphone.
It's pretty smart. It's a lot smarter than
me.
Yeah,
that's why I say 10th grade.
I think it's the site that's the problem.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so it's an interesting, it's like this, it's a nylon footie, basically, that either you use straight, or they dip them in surround, which is a kind of a clay material that, and either way, it will keep those critters from getting onto the fruit. And it's pretty fast and easy to do that. They put it over the entire fruit.
Surround is a commercial product that it's approved for use in organic farms and gardens.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's a prophylactic tactic too.
Right.
Sometimes they'll use these, commercial guys use it. I don't know about home orchardists, but essentially they will spray this kaolin clay, just turn your orchard kind of white.
Yeah.
It coats everything, the apple and the leaves and whatnot, and it's just a barrier.
Right. Creatures don't like it. They go off to do something else.
Right.
Bother some other plant.
And you just wash it off when it's time to harvest.
Rain will get it off if it rains too. And I remember Glenn Mills, a good friend out in
Newburgh
area.
He's been on the dirt bag here years ago now.
He introduced me to that and used it to get walnut husk fly, prevent that from happening, which I thought was quite remarkable and worked great.
Yeah. Now, these nylon socks are, one of the drawbacks that I have with those is that they're not compostable. So they inevitably end up in the compost pile, and they'll be a sock for a while.
I see.
And I actually had better success with the paper sacks.
Uh-huh.
I've also heard of using plastic sacks on apples, as well as on the corn. And I saw that at the Home Orchard Society. Some of them from Seattle was down and used them, and it's fine. Although it's plastic, and you may get some sun scald in there that you wouldn't get in the others. Yeah. And these bags stay on for, till the end of August or so, when the danger of the pests are gone, and then take it off, and the apples will color up and it's you end up with a pristine apple. Now people say, you do that to every apple? I say, just the ones I don't want worms in.
We're doing we use paper bags for that same purpose. Well, not that same purpose, but similar purpose. We're constantly trying to make new varieties, just for for fun, and hopefully also something that people will be able to use in their homes and orchards in the future. So we'll take an unopened flower buds to prevent them getting pollinated by any other insect, and then bag on, so like for example, two different apple varieties. And then you periodically take off the bag, see if the flowers are open. Once the flowers are open, then you take flower, or you can either take a brush or just take the actual flower itself from one tree and take it over to the other tree, other flowers, and brush it around and make bee sounds when you do this, of course. And then put the bag back over the flower so that no bee can get in there and mess with your work. And then if it all works well, you'll have a hybrid seed that you can plant, and you might find something really special
for you. Well, I had this thought that based after this massive bumblebee die-off, kill-off, actually, in the Target parking lot in Wilsonville last summer with the linden trees, you know, one of the things they did to prevent further mass die-off was that they essentially bagged the whole tree. You know, they put this shade cloth over these, you know, huge trees. And I'm wondering, could I bag my whole tree? My whole apple tree?
It's a new business, tree bags.
Yeah.
Large, medium, small.
But after they're pollinated, there's no actual reason for, you know, insects to be...
No.
The plant.
Not the good insects. The bad insects that find have the fun after that point.
All right.
Yeah, I was going to mention another pest, if I could for a moment.
Sure.
Something that we had trouble with, and other people may find this also. It's called gooseberry worm, which is actually a sawfly that is out about this time of year, and it's a green worm that looks just the same color as a gooseberry leaf. And I can imagine there might be a listener or two who are nodding their head. Yes, this happened to me, where essentially the plant gets defoliated by these little worms. And you don't really see them until you notice that there's no leaves on the plant anymore. Picking them off by hand is a good idea. But if anybody has gooseberries that they're thinking about harvesting in the future, they might want to go out and check them and see if there's any of those little bugs out there.
Yeah. Well, harvesting by hands is a pretty easy way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're with the Dirt Bag.
Yeah, I had a question.
Okay.
I got a cherry tree, and the squirrels seem to get more of them than I do. I just want to know a way to keep the squirrels from eating all the cherries up.
Squirrel pie, I heard, is really, really good.
Well, what I've had to resort to is I harvest the cherries before they're dead ripe. I have a small tree, so I'm able to keep an eye on it pretty well. But I think netting it is about the only way.
Unless the tree is isolated and it doesn't, the branches aren't going into some other tree or house or something. If it's isolated, you can put a piece of sheet metal around the trunk that they can't climb.
Is that possible?
No, it's right up against an apple tree and a plum tree.
Yeah, that's the drawback there.
Relocating the squirrels is another possibility.
Well, I've got a friend in Eugene who, this is a little macabre, but he traps the squirrels. And these are non-native squirrels. These are the eastern fox squirrel. And he traps them, and then he drowns them in a 5-gallon bucket. And that's the sure way to stop that squirrel anyway.
They taste good.
Well, yeah. Vern Nelson says they taste good. He traps them, and then he's freezing them. He told me once he traps them and then he throws the cage into his pond, and then he was saving them. He's freezing them to make a squirrel pie or something. Yeah, he hasn't written about it.
I mean, he has in his freezer.
Yeah, note to self: be careful about
going to visit Vern.
Right,
get the menu first.
So I don't have a good answer for you there.
That's better than an Eskimo pie.
Yeah, I don't want about that.
All right, I guess there's really not much you can do about
it. No, net it. Yeah. And you could just net branches too if you don't want to do the whole thing, but you want to get some.
Or you might try, like, you could, if you could figure out a way to bring those branches so they're not accessible from some other point, then you could probably try the sheet metal around the trunk.
What if I put sheet metal around the trunk of the apple tree? And
well, everything that's, yeah.
And
yeah.
The plum tree.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
And you can make a video of the squirrel trying to climb the metal, too. That'd be interesting.
Okay.
So I have to do that on all three trees.
That's right. But if you can do that, that'd be about 100% effective.
Sheet metal. Well,
we got to wrap it up here.
All right.
So, I like this idea of a tree bag. All right. Well, it's time to check in with Justin and Jen over there and let them... See how we're doing.
Well, we have $350 now for the matching. Charles from Deer Island has extended that, so we thank you so much. So call in now so that you can get your pledge match. We still are waiting for some more phone calls, 877-500-5266. And I have a comment about the squirrel issue. Somebody told me that if you put buckets of nuts near your fruit trees, that the squirrels will go for the nuts instead of the fruit because they actually like that better. So you could try that. I don't know if it worked.
That's a good way to get rid of a bucket of nuts.
Maybe so. So 877-500-5266.
Here's another way to get rid of a bucket of nuts.
Well, you're gonna cut our mics, aren't you?
I'm gonna cut the mic. Yeah. That's right. No, folks, I wanted to say a little more about Charles, who called in from Deer Island, Oregon. He wanted to help support this match because we are in a matching period, and it was the case that up to $250 of your money, dear listener, would be matched, and Charles has offered to extend that match. So now the next $350 will be matched. So please call in right now, 877-500-5266. You know, the climb is steepest, closest to the summit, and we have just a few days left to get to our $100,000 goal. So please, don't try and wait us out, because we've been here 46 years, and we can wait you out. 877-500-5266. If you could do $60, that will become $120, and we will send you the $25 gift certificate to One Green World. If you could do $120, that would become $240, and we will also send you and a friend to Bringing It Home, the story of hemp, past, present, and future, at the Portland Eco Film Festival. You give, perhaps to save the squirrel. Save the squirrel right now, 877-500-KBOO.
And, you know, you can also lower your carbon footprint. If you donate $75 or more right now, then Friends of Trees will plant a tree in your name. And we all know from the latest climate change reports that trees are more critical than ever. You're learning how to take care of your apple trees right now, your cherry trees. Please support this kind of information, 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266, or come in and meet us at 20. Southeast 8th Avenue. We would love to meet you.
877-500-KBOO to start or renew your membership, and you can give the world another lung. That's right. When the tree gets planted in your honor, you are giving the world a lung. We've long said that your KBOO membership will whiten teeth, freshen breath, and melt away pounds, and now it will indeed lessen your carbon footprint, dear listener. Please, $60 becomes $120. $120 becomes $240, and $240 becomes $480. You can do that online at kboo.fm or call us right now. Give us a ringy dingy, 877-500-KBOO.
Okay, that sounded good to me. And you know, the Z-berry juice is tasting pretty darn good. We still have a little bit of that to share with our, if you want to come in and become a member in person, we'd be happy to tantalize your taste buds.
And I noticed we haven't had any responses the garden stumper.
Yeah. Tammy, no calls on the garden stumper. No. Okay, 503-231-8187. We're looking, just name a fruit, nut, tree, or veggie that are wind pollinated. That's all.
That's all?
We'll tell you at the end. We already know sea berry is.
Right. Okay. It's a good example.
I kind of skip over the thinning of fruits and veggies, and this is very important, very important. Jim, you can take the thinning of the fruits, and I'll handle the thinning of the veggies.
If you want to have an Asian pear that weighs a pound, you can.
Boy, I'd be happy.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Take a, if you've got Asian pears, which are one of my very favorite fruit, go out there, take a look when those fruit are about size of a marble, maybe a little bit bigger. And oftentimes there'll be 3, 4, 5 to a cluster. You can reduce that to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that fruit will become very large.
Yeah, my shojura. That's not how it's pronounced.
Chojuro.
Chojuro. Yeah. I never get even half pound or third of a pound ones, and I thin.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if water is a problem.
Well, that's variety, too. I mean, a pound one is going to have to be like a large Korean. I mean, Chojuro probably doesn't have the capability of getting to a pound.
Okay.
But it will get a lot bigger if it's thin than if you just leave that whole cluster there.
Yes. Okay. About one per cluster on the Asian pears. What about apples?
Well, you know, basically, that if you want a really large fruit, that's a good way to do it. You can certainly leave more, and if you'll see, depending upon the variety, what's the optimum number to leave. After you've done it for a couple of years, you'll see the number. But if you thin to 1, of course, the fruit will get much larger than it will if it has competition.
And I think overall, most people would prefer to have one big apple than several little smaller or much smaller ones.
Right. And there's probably a compromise in there.
Bagging them, then one big one is better than.
Right. But, of course, if it falls off in the process of bagging, then you've got none. So you want to be a little careful with that.
When a fruit is well pollinated, it's tough to get it off. I mean, you have to, I'm thinning apples, I have to cut them off, or I have to use my pruners to cut them off. They don't just fall off.
If they fall off, they're probably not pollinated.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about fruits that we do thin. So apples, what about pears?
Pears are typically, they can be thinned or not. I don't usually do it. They usually seem to have not so many. European pears, the Asian pears are more... Are more rewarding, I think, for the effort.
If you thin. I tend to thin my Bartlett's because I'd have way too many otherwise, and I would rather deal with larger fruits.
I see. Well, I haven't had to do that, or at least I haven't.
Okay.
And again, it's a time thing too. You know, I mean, if you've got other things to do, you may not be able to thin everything. But the ones that you will get more reward from, I mean, certain Asian pears definitely will give you. It's worth doing it.
Okay, we're going to interrupt and take a phone call, and then we'll come back with our list here. Okay. Pardon? Michael, you're with the Dirtbag.
Well, I'm calling about the stumper.
All right. What you got?
Wind-pollinated nut trees?
Yeah.
How about pecans or pistachios?
We're both dumbfounded because we've never grown those.
So how about if we limit it to something that grows here in the Northwest?
But
okay.
Michael, is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know if you were guessing or that you knew that.
No, I know pecans and pistachios are.
All right. That's, well, you're in the same. Yeah, great.
Well, we'll give you that because obviously you know more than. I mean, if I thought about it, I might come up with that one too. But there is a nut tree that grows here,
right? And it's not walnut
or pine. Maple,
that's
or oak.
Well. What's the most popular? What does Oregon grow 90% of in the whole country?
Hazelnuts.
Got it.
Yeah, that's right.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the wind pollinated there, but once again, they have they're dioecious. Is that right, Jim? That they are. There's different blossoms on each.
On the same tree, one tree, there will be both a male and a female blossom.
Right.
And the wind, but that tree is not self-compatible. You need another variety.
Oh,
so one hazelnut tree.
You need a pollinizer.
Theory won't. Yeah, you need a pollinizer next to it, or nearby, for the wind to blow the pollen from the other tree to the female flower of the other one. So,
but I guess my question is, walnuts are insect pollinated?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have big blooms
and chestnuts too.
Yeah, yeah. The big the horse chestnuts are out now, big showy white with red tinge. And as beekeepers, we notice the brick red pollen coming in. That's generally from the horse, horseradish.
The horse chestnut.
The horse chestnut, excuse me.
Right. But of course, they're not edible.
That's correct, not for us.
Yeah.
It's about that time, Tammy says. Okay, Michael, thank you very much. If we had a prize, you'd win one.
Thanks a lot.
And there is another fruit.
So just one more, call back next month with the answer, because then you'll get to tickets to the EcoFilm series.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Make it quick, Jim. We got to check in.
Oh, I was just going to say that there's still a couple of other plants that we've been thinking about that are
and we want to talk about veggies in that came too. So okay, let's head over. Let's see. That would be east from here.
I can see east.
I can see you.
I can see. How much is that dirt bag in the window? 877-500-5266. Boy, you didn't see that one coming.
No,
did you?
I didn't. It went right by me.
We are in a matching period still. $350 of your money will be matched thanks to an anonymous donor and Charles from Deer Island, Oregon.
Let's tap him out.
877-500-5266. Donna called. George called. Kristen called. Thank you so much. We still have gift certificates to One Green World. $60 will get you that gift certificate, and it will become $120. Let's see. I believe, have a pair or two to the Portland Eco Film Festival, bringing it home. This is the story of hemp, past, present, and future. $60 becomes $120. $120 becomes $240. And you're getting this expertise from the horse chestnut's mouth. 877-500-5266.
That's right, folks. It's 877-500-5266, KBOO.FM, or come down and meet us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're learning today about the fruits that you can grow in your yard, the nuts you can grow in your yard, how to take care of them, thinning, protecting your apples. You know, this is all vital information that you're not going to hear just on any old radio station. You're going to hear it here on KBOO. We've been providing organic agriculture information since 1976. That's pretty incredible. And we did it all because of your support. Now is your time to please give us a call. It's a matching period. Every penny you get will be matched up to $350. 877-500-5266.
Maybe you could pay for 1 hour of KBOO this year. That's $84. That would become $168 during this matching period. 877-500-KBOO. By now you realize, dear listeners, it is our spring membership drive. You realize that your money is what keeps this radio station functioning. By now you realize we have a lot of thank you gifts, and you can call us up and talk to us about it when you introduce yourself. When you call 877-500-KBOO. Never have such modest contributions amounted to such Himalayan accomplishments. 23 million commercial free minutes and counting, and everyone's doing their part. Jen has come to volunteer her time. Tammy is running the air room, and she's a volunteer, and Glenn and Jim are volunteering, and our phone answers are volunteering, and the restaurants are donating food, for goodness sake, to our volunteers. Thank you, Zell's Cafe at 1300 Southeast Morrison. Thank you, Sonny's at 1400 Southeast Stark. Thank you, Teriyaki Town at 4434 Northeast Sandy. Now we would like to thank you, dear listeners. Call right now, 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. We know you dirtbag listeners are out there. I've been a long time dirtbag listener. I've learned so much that has helped me in my garden, and I grow 16 kinds of fruits and lots of vegetables. A lot of it I've learned how to do right here on this show. This is invaluable information, and now is the time to support it, and your contribution will be matched up to $350. 877-500-5266.
And I would just like to point out that Bill O'Reilly does not give you tips on how to grow seaberry, and Wolf Blitzer does not tell you how to keep the squirrels off of your apples. You get it here. You're drinking from the well, as they say. Real expertise brought by real people with real voices making real radio. And the only way the lights are on, the only way that the transmitter is working, the only way that the board is operational in our air room is because you answer the call by making the call. Be a hero right now and engage in a wee bit of checkbook activism. 877-500-KBOO.
That's right, folks, 877-500-5266. You know, you may think that your contribution is not significant. We know that 1 out of 10 listeners tend to give. A lot of people out there listen all the time, but they don't actually contribute. Maybe you think, well, my small contribution is not significant. Yes, it really is. And now you can double whatever you're able to give by calling 877-500-5266.
And we have less than $500 to go, and thousands of you listening. There are a lot of you listening. It is the perfect day for it. How could you miss this opportunity? Dear listeners, the bulk of you have shown admirable resolve at resisting our entreaties. But now it is time to relax, unclench, pull out your checkbook, and engage in a little bit of activism, and call us right now at 877-500-5266 to make sure that KBOO does not leave any money on the table, as it were, during this matching period. The $350 shall be matched, and we are asking for your phone calls right now. You're saying thank you to the Dirtbag. You're saying thank you to every one of the programmers who come in here every hour of every day for almost 400,000 commercial-free hours. Do it right now, 877-500-KBOO.
Well done, Justin and Jen. We've got just a few more minutes to talk about the answers to the stumper and to finish up our thinning talk here. Just a few more on fruits. What fruits do we not recommend thinning? Cherries?
Yeah,
no, don't need to do that. Plums?
No.
Not really?
No.
What other fruits do we have? Apricots? No, don't thin apricots.
Don't.
If we ever got one of those, peaches? No.
No.
Generally, with peaches, we're thinning branches early. That's my kind of way I think about it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's not a lot that we don't do a whole lot of thinning. I mean, I would say Asian pears are one of the main ones we do. You said you do European pears. Apples.
Yeah, and you know, I can't remember exactly what Ted Swenson said, our colleague and, guru, and he said something, by thinning, well, one reason for thinning apples is that you can prevent somewhat the
biennial bearing.
Yes. Some trees are very prone to that.
They bear a heavy crop 1 year and then hardly anything the next year.
Right. Yeah,
so by thinning, you reduce the heavy crop and the tree kind of says, okay, I guess I can do it next year too.
All right. Yeah. Well, in just a few minutes then, let's talk a little bit about vegetable thinning. And this is very important for three crops that just come to my mind right away. One is carrots. We tend to seed those, sow the seeds way too thickly. I thin mine to maybe 2 to 3 inches apart when they're up. Because if you want big carrots, you need to do that. And it's easier to weed then when you have fewer carrots, but you'll be rewarded with larger carrots. Also, you need to thin beets and chard, Swiss chard, because it's a compound seed that you're planting, and 1 to 3 little seeds are inside this compound seed, and it's way too thick otherwise. Now, I don't necessarily just thin, but I transplant. So I pull up all of the, gently, I will put my fingers underneath or the trowel underneath, and I will pick up the whole 1 to 4, well, if it's 1, I wouldn't be doing it, but 2 to 4 seedlings, lift those up by holding on to the leaf. I will separate them and then plant one back in the hole, and then transplant the others to another row or a hole in the row where it needs it. Mm-hmm. And in that way, you don't have to sow more than once. You know you have a bona fide plant growing there.
And you do that on a cool day.
Yes, much. Yeah, don't do it today.
Yeah.
No. On the weekend would be good when you're going to expect rain, or when it's raining, that's good too. Mm-hmm. So that's three. The other one happens to be an answer to one of the answers to our stumper too, which plants are wind pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
Corn.
Uh-huh.
Corn is wind pollinated.
Yes.
And you can thin, or you should thin corn too, maybe 12 inches in the row, three feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important that for corn, I used to cram in a lot more, but if you want a good stand of corn, it's better to have it, enough sunlight.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
There too. So other answers, Jim, to the stumper so seaberry and corn.
Yep.
And we said Filberts.
And Filberts.
Well, he said hazelnuts, but he's not from Oregon.
Yeah. And of course, one that isn't so common here, a fruit, olive.
Olive. Okay.
It's been pollinated.
All right. So we're not going to starve.
But I would say that the diversity would be much reduced. So support the bees.
Right. That's right. And Jen hasn't mentioned, at least recently, that if you make a pledge that we will mail you a packet of wildflower seeds. They're not wildflower seeds. Seeds that are good for bee plants. Everybody gets one of those in their envelope there.
Great.
Yes. So there's just a variety suggested by Xerxes. Yeah. And we're out of time. So that's it. Thank you all for listening and pledging, becoming members of KBOO. Jim, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I'll leave the seaberry juice here.
Somebody's going to enjoy that with their lunch.
You'll be so healthy afterwards.
That's right. It is kind of, you seem vitalized here after having all
that. It's funny, isn't it?
Thanks again for all of you have pledged during the Dirt Bag. Particularly, we appreciate your support. This is Glenn Andreessen. I'll be back in a month.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver, available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOPS or hopworksbeer.com. And we're going to move on to the headline news at noon. And after that, jazz with Rita. Thanks for tuning in today.
This is KBOO Headline News at Noon for Wednesday, May 14, 2014. I'm Diane Erickson.
And I'm Patrick Wilson. In local news, new data from the U.S. Census Bureau show that biking to work has jumped 60% in the last 10 years, with Portland leading the trend. The East Coast and the South reported limited use for bikes, with most Americans still commuting by car and low-income Americans being the most likely to walk or bike to work.
President Obama presented the Medal of Honor to a former Army sergeant and native of Seattle, Kyle J. White, who saved another soldier's life and helped protect the evacuation of other wounded men while under intense fire in Afghanistan in 2007. White, who was also wounded, would allow himself to be evacuated only after all the other wounded had been evacuated.